From WIPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. Growing the economy, creating jobs, cutting red tape, managing the budget. The nine Democrats running for governor told us their economic priorities. We asked political commentator and blogger Barry Raskovar how their ideas will shape the primary vote June 26th and the general election in the fall. With low unemployment numbers, he says it's uphill for Democrats to unseat the popular incumbent.
A sour economy sours people on the individuals who are in office. Whereas in a good economy now, people are very happy and they give all the credit in the world to the person who's in power. In this case, the lucky person happens to be Larry Hogan.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
If you listen to Marketplace, the daily public radio news show about business, you know that just about any topic can be defined as an economic issue. It's handy to keep that in mind as we analyze how the nine Democrats running for governor of Maryland describe their ideas for jobs and the economy. It's an especially important issue for Democrats, given that the Republican one of them will face in the fall election, incumbent Governor Larry Hogan, scores well with voters in how he's handling Maryland's economy. The new Washington Post University of Maryland poll gives him a 3-to-1 advantage on that issue. 65% of Maryland voters polled approve of how he's handling the economy, compared to 22% who disapprove. Several of the Democratic candidates push back by citing a new prediction by the Philadelphia Federal Reserve that economic activity is likely to decline in the next 6 months, the only state where the Fed does not forecast growth. The Philadelphia Fed's formula includes increases in Maryland's unemployment rate during the first months of 2018. But some economists note that rate edged up because even though the number of jobs in Maryland rose, the number of people looking for work rose faster, not necessarily a harbinger of shrinking economic activity. With us to help sort out what the Democratic gubernatorial hopefuls are saying about the economy is Barry Raskovar, who has been observing politics in Maryland for more than four decades and blogs about it at politicalmaryland.com. Welcome back to the show, Barry.
Thanks, Sheila.
The Democratic primary is 2 weeks from tomorrow. Early voting starts this Thursday. What's your sense of the role that economic issues are playing in the primary and will play in the general election in the fall?
The economy right now plays a very minor role in the primary campaign. The reason being that people care deeply about the economy when things are going badly, when unemployment is on the rise. During the Great Recession, Governor O'Malley suffered as far as polling results were concerned as in his popularity. And the reason was that we were in a great recession, the unemployment rate was skyrocketing, and O'Malley was forced to raise taxes to keep the state afloat. If the same thing were happening to Governor Hogan right now, he'd be suffering a steep decline in his popularity. So I think it's more that a sour economy sours people on the individuals who are in office. Whereas in a good economy now, people are very happy and they give all the credit in the world to the person who's in power. And in this case, it happens, the lucky person happens to be Larry Hogan. But I don't think that any governor can do very much about affecting the state economy. Economics really is a national item that only Washington can impact dramatically. Governors can do very, very little. They can tinker around the edges, and that's what a lot of these candidates for the Democratic nomination for governor are talking about. They're making a lot of promises that I think were they to be in office, they'd never be able to keep.
Let's look at some of what they're saying they would like to do. Several of the Democrats contend the issue is more about preparing Maryland's workforce than creating jobs. Here's Ben Jealous.
First thing we need to do is recognize that it's less an issue that we lack good jobs for our kids. It's more of an issue that we lack kids that we've trained for the good jobs that we already have. Take construction management in Maryland. There's a constant demand of 3,000 jobs per year. We need 3,000 new construction managers in Maryland every year. Our public university system, last time I checked, produces about 24. Most of the rest are recruited from other states.
A similar point from Alec Ross, who wrote a book called The Industries of the Future.
There are 20,000 unfilled jobs today, just in Maryland, just in cybersecurity, with average starting salaries near $100,000 a year. But we don't have enough people with the skills to do those jobs. And so a big focus of my platform is on education, but also making sure that the outputs of our education system map to the inputs of where private sector hiring will be.
Jim Shea, a lawyer, recounted that when he chaired the Empower Baltimore Management Corporation, it addressed the skills issue by talking to employers.
We actually went to the businesses and said, what do you need by way of skills in your workers? Help us design a curriculum to satisfy those needs. And then we took those training programs back to residents of East Baltimore and West Baltimore, and they had jobs waiting for them if we satisfied the training program.
Asked teacher Ralph Jaffe about jobs, and he says it's critical to create what he calls tutor-mentor teams of a half dozen successful adults.
This program I have gives an opportunity for every student in Baltimore City to connect with a tutor-mentor team, and that tutor-mentor team will stay with that student from the moment that they connect until the moment that that student, be boy or girl, either gets a job after high school or gets a job after college.
So, Barry, candidates are also talking about making community college free for all, but there's this emphasis on making sure that people are pursuing education with specific job goals.
Right. That's a nationwide trend among colleges and especially community colleges to try to give students an applied education. A few decades ago, we used to call it vocational education. Community colleges are very good at doing that, giving certification programs. The problem here is that it's very nice for gubernatorial candidates to talk about this, but they don't run the school systems. They don't run the community colleges. And in fact, they don't run the state colleges. So a lot of these proposals that are coming forward are very interesting. And they make a lot of sense because there is a mismatch of skills out there versus the jobs that are being created. But all a governor can do is try to persuade educators to start realigning their curriculum. It's a little bit of a deception by these candidates to talk about these areas when they really are going to have, as governor, they'd have almost no control over what's happening.
That's Politics Observer and columnist Barry Raskovar here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're analyzing the proposals of the nine Democrats running for governor for how to grow the economy and create jobs. Well, questions about the economy pretty quickly lead to plans for the state's budget and taxes. Rashern Baker, who often cites how he approached problems as Prince George's County executive, claimed jobs were created when the budgets of some county agencies were cut and others boosted.
And we increased in the areas that were going to help us not only make the quality of life better, but also provide job opportunities. So when we increased in technology, we provided, you know, more jobs. When we increased in healthcare, It expanded access to quality health care throughout Prince George's County, but it also created job opportunities in the health care field.
Prince George's County just adopted its largest budget ever, $4 billion in spending. Will it matter to voters that Baker is the only candidate with executive branch experience?
That's a good question. Someone who's followed politics for a long time, like myself, yes, it does matter. It matters tremendously. If an individual is coming in blind or has all this expertise that's been built up over a number of decades, it's like going to a dentist who's going to dental school and someone who's just pulling teeth at random. For voters, it's hard to say whether a more charismatic personality like Benjamin Jealous is what they're looking for, someone who is pitching very strong ideas that would overturn a lot of the current system? Or are they looking for someone who is more in the lines of the late Kevin Kamenetz, who has the expertise, and Ruchern Baker, who also has this decade of expertise in government? And it's hard to say exactly what people want these days. They certainly didn't want an experienced government hand as president of the United States in the last election. They elected Donald Trump, who had no political experience. Will voters in Maryland feel the same way? History would say no. They want somebody with experience. But then voters always tend to surprise once in a while and to shock us even.
Nothing in this campaign has been as shocking and sudden as the death of Baltimore County Executive Kevin Kamenetz of cardiac arrest a month ago. His running mate, former Montgomery County Council Chair Valerie Ervin, then decided to replace him at the head of the ticket. She told us she would not raise taxes.
I think we have more than enough tax revenue to do a lot of what I'm talking about, because when you look at the budget pie, it's pretty extraordinary how big it is. It's up to the policymakers to decide how to divide up that pie to best serve the citizens of this state. And that's what I tend to do without raising taxes.
In that particular clip, Ervin doesn't define what she's talking about doing. Barry, compare her agenda to that of her late running mate, Kevin Kamenetz.
Kevin Kamenetz had done a remarkably good job in Baltimore County in coming forward every year with an expanded budget with no tax increases. But he then did a lot of moving of the bureaucratic boxes around within Baltimore County so that some departments got more money, some departments got less money. He reprioritized, if you will. And he did a very good job of that. And I think as governor, he probably would have tried to do the same thing. Valerie Ervin, though, politically, has always been miles apart from the moderate type of pragmatic approach that Kevin Kamenetz always took. Ervin is on the Bernie Sanders liberal wing of the Democratic Party, and she's always been espousing big changes in government. Well, somebody's got to pay for that somehow. I think Ms. Ervin probably look at those comments she made and may want to rethink them once she's reminded that 85% of the state budget is mandated by state law. You can't do much to move things around and to reprioritize. You don't have the resources that these people who have not been in government in Annapolis are aware of. Valerie Ervin is proposing some things on expansion of government that people ought to question and ask her very specifically, all right, fine, how much is this going to cost and how are you going to pay for it? And that's a question that most of the candidates have been trying to avoid.
Okay, we'll hear what some of the other candidates told us about taxes and their plans for small business after a quick break on The Record. Political pundit Barry Raskovar is staying with us. Hope you will, too.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about how the 9 Democrats running for governor say they would approach the economy and jobs and what kind of matchup that would be in the fall with incumbent Republican Governor Larry Hogan. With us for some perspective is political columnist Barry Raskovar, who blogs at politicalmaryland.com. Let's hear a little bit about what the candidates are saying on taxes. The only Democrat with plans for a tax increase is Ben Jealous, who told us he'd pay for free community college tuition with a 1% tax increase on the incomes of the richest 1%. Rich Madalino, who is vice chair of the Budget and Tax Committee in the state Senate, said there's no need to raise taxes.
Believe it or not, the state is sitting on probably by the end of the year, we will close the books with, I would imagine, a $500 to $600 million surplus. We should use this money to invest in things that, in the long term, are going to make us more prosperous and actually keep revenues coming in, or that save us money in the long run. If you can invest some of that money in pretrial services to change the likely outcome for someone winding up in jail as opposed to someone getting treatment and staying out of jail permanently, you save a lot of money, but that's putting in some upfront investment.
Krish Vignaraja, who was policy director for First Lady Michelle Obama, said she would not expect to raise taxes.
We've got to align our incentives to what we want, meaning we should not tax what we want more of, meaning job creation and economic growth. But if we're going to tax, we should tax what we want less of, which is pollution, vices like lotteries and the casino revenues.
Barry, Larry Hogan campaigned 4 years ago on promises of cutting taxes. How is the tax issue going to shape up?
Well, it's a real plus for Larry Hogan because people aren't sure whether or not Larry Hogan has reduced taxes. But because the economy is good and more people who were out of work now have jobs, they're very happy with the situation as is, and they turn around and they hear that the governor has eliminated the charge for an Easy Pass transponder. They know he has reduced tolls. That's enough for people to say, yes, he's cut my taxes. In fact, he's really nibbled on the edges here. The state legislature won't allow him to engage in a major tax cut. It'll be interesting if he is reelected for a second term to see if he does try to take on the General Assembly on this issue. On the Democratic side, I think listeners have to have a bit of skepticism as to what the Democratic candidates are saying. Some of them are saying, I'm not going to raise taxes, but I am going to deliver health care for all. I am going to deliver free college tuition. We're going to finally build the red line in Baltimore and so forth. There's no money for any of that. That money has to be created somehow. And usually that's going to mean more tax increases. Interestingly, the Department of Legislative Services, right after the last legislative session, came out with its analysis of the state of the state's budget. And what they said was, we today have a structural deficit. The state does not bring in enough revenue to pay for all its programs. So for candidates to say, I'm not going to raise taxes, they also are going to have to slash a lot of existing programs. Nobody on the Democratic side is willing to say that.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast with politics columnist Barry Raskovar. We're reviewing some of what the 9 Democrats running for governor told us they'd like to do for business and jobs. Most, if not all, of the Democrats are promising to make things better for small business. Several propose cutting red tape and simplifying licensing. Krish Vignaraja says she'd create a one-stop shop for small business dealings with state government.
When I came out of the White House, I created a small business called Generation Impact LLC. And part of what I want to see is government actually become more customer service friendly. I know that seems so intuitive, but I will tell you that as I go in from website to website, I called into a government hotline and got hung up on because it was incredibly difficult to try to figure out how do you start a small business.
Alec Ross tells a story about the brewery run by his running mate, Julie Verratti, and her wife.
They have to report to the county how much beer they brew in gallons. And then they have to report it to the state in metric units. Why they need to know, you know, how much beer they're brewing in different units, it is soul-crushing paperwork and compliance. And so I would want to set the standard that any information that we're collecting has to serve a definable public purpose. purpose.
Some candidates envision a bigger role for state government in creating small businesses. Rashern Baker says he did it as county executive in Prince George's.
So we use what we call our Economic Development Incentive Fund, which is $50 million, to invest in those small businesses in the county to see them grow from one employee to two employees, from six to 12. So the more people those businesses hired, the more people paid taxes, the more we can pour into the county.
Ben Jealous wants the state to give incentives to banks to extend credit earlier to small businesses.
We can also then take a risk on behalf of our small businesses and actually underwrite the banks in the state to give lines of credit earlier to those small businesses than they might otherwise qualify. Right now, you have to have 2 years of tax returns. Well, there are financial services technology algorithms that can assess risk in a growing six-month-old business much better than a banker with 2 years of tax returns will be able to do 24 months later.
Governor Hogan's motto has been that Maryland is open for business, but these Democrats paint a very different picture.
Yeah, I think Democrats are, being outsiders, are always going to be attacking the insider. In this case, I think the record is pretty clear that Governor Hogan came into office and continues to preach that he's going to be the friend of the small business person, and that there is more cutting of red tape, eliminating of regulations. There is more of a tendency to try to create one-stop shops for small business people. The Democrats are trying to say, no, that isn't the case. But indeed, I think every governor I have covered as a journalist has basically said the same thing. We need to cut down on red tape. We need to make it simpler for the small business person. We need to be a friend and to guide the entrepreneur into the world of setting up his or her own business. But really, that's a private sector area that government has had a very, very limited success in dealing with. And yet the candidates continue to preach that they're going to do this. I think it's a false hope that they're setting up here. A lot of the proposals are interesting proposals, but it's only a very small number of people that would probably be helped by these programs. It's not going to move the economy. It's not going to create tons of jobs in the economy, but it's a nice thing for a politician running for governor to say.
Overall, Barry, how would you describe where the Democratic candidates want to move Maryland's economy?
The Democratic candidates in general want to move the Maryland economy far to the left. They want to move toward more of a welfare type of state. Health care for all, for instance, would be hugely expensive to do, would require an enormous increase in taxes, for instance. But it would change the direction of the state economy in any number of respects. Education for all, college education for all, could change the state economy dramatically, but would cost a lot as well. So there are all sorts of proposals like this that are big ticket items that require huge new sources of revenue. That could impact a business's outlook toward Maryland. And it could affect job creation in Maryland. It could be positive or, it could go in the other direction. We don't know. But it would be quite different from today. Most of the Democratic candidates want the government to be much more involved in economic decisions than it is today. And I think Governor Hogan is likely to highlight that as we move toward the general election campaign, that he wants to maintain more of the status quo. The Democrats are looking for radical changes.
Barry, thank you.
Thank you, Sheila.
Barry Raskovar has been observing and writing about politics in Maryland since 1971. He blogs at politicalmaryland.com. The primary is 2 weeks from tomorrow. Early voting begins Thursday, and that's also when we plan to discuss what the non-candidates told us about crime and the opioid overdose epidemic. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.